Thanksgiving is just an awesome holiday. It's just so good. If ever there's a time to celebrate as a follower of Christ, there's Thanksgiving. And, you know, when you look at the kind of the gamut of holidays that we get, and I hope you get tomorrow off for Thanksgiving, but as you as we look at it, you know, there's Easter, right? That's huge. I mean, that's mighty to save. That's where we celebrate salvation. So that's big. We've got Christmas, and we wouldn't have Easter without Christmas, right? So the incarnation of Christ. And then we've got these other stat holidays. We got Victoria Day. What is that? We got BC Day, Canada Day, Family Day. That's tradition, isn't it? And then we've got Thanksgiving. And I think on the list of, you know, ones that as Christ followers we make a big deal of, it's Thanksgiving. Because we have somebody to thank, right? And that is really cool. That is really awesome. You know, the Bible, when you look at it, it's really it's a notepad of thank you cards. When you think about it, you know, you look at the ups and downs of the story of creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Throughout it, you find cards of thanks. You know, God creates the world, and there's a thanks afterwards on the seventh day. There's the ark and Noah, and then you've got thanks afterwards when they come off the ark. You've got the people of Israel coming into the promised land, and you've got thanks after that. And then you've got the temple coming being built, and you have a thanks. You've got people going away in exile and coming back again, you've got thanks. And then you've got Jesus, the ultimate expression of God's love and his giving of himself. And we have the response of thanks in the epistles and in through the apostles. And we read again and again, thanks. So we're going to focus in on one of those thanks this morning. And there's one of those in one of those letters that really gets me. And it's been messing with me for a little bit here for a couple of weeks. Actually, since the summer. But it's this 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. And this is what it says here. It says, give thanks, and I underlined it, all in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I read that, and I know the Apostle Paul wrote that, and I see, Paul, what bubble were you living in? You know, what planet were you on? Can you really do that? Is that possible? Can I thank God in all circumstances? And I look at that, and I realize that, you know, Paul had some pretty bad news. The world was, you know, we turn on the TV, we get a lot of bad news. Paul was exposed to a lot of bad news. He had seen a lot of bad news. He'd been in prison. He'd been shipwrecked. He had been beaten. And the guy says, thank God in all circumstances. I'd like to follow him around. What was going on in his head that he could say, thank God in all circumstances? Well, I think ultimately there's a secret that Paul tapped into. A secret that Paul tapped into and many Christ followers throughout history have tapped into. And maybe you're tapping into that this morning. But a thankful life, the secret for a thankful life is getting a new perspective, a different perspective, a fresh perspective. And to illustrate this morning, I've got a chair up on stage here. And I'm asking somebody to come up here for a moment and you're going to get a different perspective. All of you, many of you have a similar perspective sitting in your chairs right there. I have a different perspective up here, and believe me, on some levels it's kind of frightening when you're looking at a whole group of people, but I'm wondering if somebody would be willing to join me up here for a moment. I promise I won't embarrass you, you won't stay up here for the whole time or anything like that, but I'm just looking for one volunteer. One volunteer. All right. Brian's at the back. Brian's going to come up. Brian back there. Come on up, Brian. Let's give him a hand. Give him a hand. Brian's willing to come up here. Awesome. So you're up here now, and you've got a fresh perspective, a different perspective than sitting down below there. I'm not sure if you've been up here before.
No.
That's good. That's good. I don't know, but it's a risk to come up here, isn't it? It's a bit of a risk to step out.
A bit of a risk.
Yeah.
Years ago, I would have been terrified.
Okay.
But getting old and senile, I don't have to worry about that.
It doesn't matter what they think anymore, right?
That's right.
That's good. Would you mind following me up here? I'm going to bring you to a chair. I'm going to give you a fresh perspective. Now, there's a bit of a different perspective up here, isn't there? It's a little bit higher and
oh, yeah.
You know, a little bit different.
Right.
But then there's a whole other perspective that I want to give you sitting in this chair right here.
Kind of a back corner?
Back corner, don't. You're not going to face this way. We'll face you this way. I wouldn't possibly do that to you, Brian. But there's another whole perspective.
Yep.
And if you look all the way across, Is there anything that you might be able to see that others can't?
Well, I can see everyone for a start. Okay. There's one or two around me.
So you see everyone?
Yeah.
Is there something else that you see when you scan over that direction over here? I'm giving you a few cues here.
I see a board with some that says, come and claim your free turkey.
Come and claim your free turkey.
Yeah. Oh,
well, come on over here. There we go. What's behind the curtain? Curtain number one. Do you want to grab that? There we go. A free turkey. Give him a hand. I promised you'd get rewarded to this whole thing.
Do you come and cook it too?
Do I come and cook it too? No, you wouldn't want that. Thanks a lot, Brian. Give him a hand. That's awesome. There we go. There's his life group leader talking about, you'll serve that up to the guys. It's a men's group. You can do whatever you like with that. But, you know, it's amazing sometimes what can change with perspective. Sometimes what we see that we wouldn't have seen otherwise by moving positions. And I guess my premise this morning is that if we allow God to change our perspective, to actually change where we're sitting, maybe not physically, but on a spiritual level, with our hearts and with our eyes, we might see things that we never see otherwise. And I believe that's what Paul was tapping into. He saw his circumstances and he saw some things. Or by faith, he believed that there were some things coming that changed his whole perspective. And so whatever circumstances we are in, he could say, I can thank God. It's the will of God. I can see the will of God being worked out in it. And Brian, it was the will of God for you to get a free turkey this morning. But God actually wants, he invites us to thank him. But then I just want to take a few kind of places or maybe chairs that you might be sitting in this morning and invite maybe a fresh perspective from whatever chair you might be sitting in this morning. And maybe this morning your heart is just overflowing with praise and with thankfulness for God. The sun is shining outside, and maybe on a very much a event circumstances level, it's happening that way too. A thankful perspective on my good circumstances is God loves that. He enjoys that. He invites us to look at all the good things that we have. And I thank you, Chantel, for putting kind of a visual illustration of that up here for us this morning. When it feels like it's all coming towards us and the good things are there, we have so much to thank God for his blessings. It says in Psalm 16, verse 2, it said, I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. You know, when we choose to follow Christ, when we step into that, we say, God, you're my master. Now I'm recognizing that everything comes from you. It's not random. It's not just luck. I actually have somebody to thank. And that's a wonderful thing. And I know you're here this morning because you want to just say thank you to God. That's why we congregate and come to church on Sunday morning. You know, it's a whole lot different than the Simpsons show. I'll never forget an episode when he saw the Simpsons, and they sometimes kind of inject a little bit of religion in there or whatever, but he's supposed to say grace. This is what Bart, you know, the little Bart Simpson says. Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing. Brutal. But you know what? If you don't have a God to thank for what do you do, right? What do you do? Now, certainly we can look around at others and thank them, but saying grace before the meal is simple a way of just putting a ritual into place so that we don't forget to thank God. So whatever you might be going through this morning, and all the good things, I know we can all look at our lives and say, what do we say to God? It's kind of like, you know, when my kids were young, and you may have young kids, and somebody does something nice for you, and the kid's kind of shy, you say, what do you say to the nice man or nice lady? And the little child says, thank you, you know, a timid thank you. This morning, I want to encourage us a little bit to say, what do we say to the nice God for what he's given us, right? And this morning, I'm going to invite you to do a little bit of liturgy with me. I know that in Coast Hills, we're not a huge on liturgy, but there's something really good about saying something together. And I just want to invite you to say a line of thanks with me on each of these circumstances. And some of it might be more challenging than others. This line is pretty simple, I think. Thanks, God, that everything I am and have comes from you. Would you mind saying that with me? Thanks, God, that everything I am and have comes from you. I think God is really pleased when our words actually say it, When we speak it out loud, God's pleased, and there's a thanks that goes back to God. He's such an abundant God. He gives us so much. And when it comes to thankfulness, it's more than just good manners. There's actually a whole way of seeing and doing life that God invites us into. And so I want to address a little bit of that, events and bad circumstances, the kind of circumstances that we look at and we say, that's bad. I don't know what else, what could possibly be good about that. Now, I think on a very pragmatic level, we can look at some of those bad circumstances and say, well, it could have been this, right? And sometimes God gives us that perspective. I'll never forget a guy I worked with in the summertime. I used to work out up in northern BC outside, and we had mosquito repellent that was like 98% DEET. I don't think they allow you to put that on your skin anymore, but it was like poison, and it would kill the mosquitoes. I'm not sure what it would do to us, but somebody took it on our crew and put it on his brand new dash of his brand new Beretta. I don't know if they even make those cars anymore, but it spilled over and just melted a hole into his dash. I'll never forget sitting with this guy. He's the most thankful guy. He's the most refreshing guy to be out in the bush with. He goes, well, at least it didn't land on my steering wheel. I can still drive. You know, that's one way we can look at bad circumstances, right? And that is a fresh perspective, and that is something that God can give us. But there's something else that sometimes we're able to look at things and say, you know what, God? There's something that you're doing here that I maybe can't see or I don't know. And maybe it's just a matter of time I'm going to see it, but maybe not. But I just believe you, God, that you are in charge and that you are over top of all this and that you are a creative God and you can actually bring some good out of bad. There's a story in the Bible about Daniel, and it's a great kind of illustration of that. Daniel was taken into exile. He lived amongst foreign gods and foreign nation, and mostly the god was the king. They were egomaniacs, the kings back then, but they always asked people to worship them, and he worshiped the true God, the God who truly gives all good things. But because he was rising up in the ranks among the court, there was jealousy, and these guys, in order to trap him, said, because they knew Daniel's habit of praying and thanking God, they said, they slapped a law on him prohibiting prayer. Well, what does Daniel do? It says in chapter 6, verse 10, it says, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. You know, I wonder what Daniel was saying to God, right? When he knew that the penalty for praying was to be thrown in with the lions. And inevitably, the lions would rip you apart. Well, the miracle happened, and God preserved him. Last year at Thanksgiving, I just read a book. Some of you might remember it, but it was called A Thousand Thank Yous, Thanks, written by Anne Voss Camp. And her premise in that book is that Thanksgiving always precedes the miracle. That somehow when God works in our lives and we see Thanksgiving come out of our lives, that there's a miracle that God will do. It might not be saving you from lions, but it might be whatever it is. The miracle of a joy that comes out of our lives. And so God invites us to that. And the liturgical line that I have for us this morning to say together, and this one can be a tough one. I recognize that because you might be going through something incredibly difficult in your circumstances right now. But the line is, thanks God that in the middle of the bad, you can bring about good. Can we say that together? Thanks God that in the middle of the bad, you can bring about good. That's a faith statement. Sometimes we don't see that right away. We don't know what God is up to. And sometimes it's pure mystery. But who knows? God may be about doing a miracle. A book that I picked up this summer that had been sitting on my shelf for about 30 years, and I think I read it 30 years ago, but I didn't really remember it. Once I started reading it, I couldn't put it down. It's called The Hiding Place. It's a story about Corrie ten Boom. Some of you might remember it. It was big in the 70s. Her story came out after the war. She was a Dutch woman. Her and her sister lived in Harlem in the Holland. And when the Nazis took over Holland, they started to notice that a lot of their Jewish neighbors either got labeled or started to disappear. And when they came to their doors, they decided that as followers of Christ, we would offer hospitality to anybody that come. So they took these Jews in during the Second World War. actually built a room that was called the hiding place. And then eventually, in their workings in the underground, and it's a fascinating story, all sorts of clandestine stuff, but they get arrested, and they get put in prison initially, and then eventually, and they were separated, eventually they get put in a death camp, Ravensbrück, together. And in the process of being moved like cattle in cattle cars, and much of this came out, I went to the Holocaust Museum in Israel, and I think that's what especially piqued my interest about that. In the midst of just absolute human suffering, her and her sister, and thankfully that by miracle, sheer miracle, they got a Bible that they were able to smuggle into each of these situations. But the kind of miracles that happened in their lives is unbelievable. And these are staunch, you know, reformed people kind of thing, and just the kinds of stuff is unbelievable in the presence of the suffering. Well, her and her sister end up in Ravensbrück, and she talks about being thrown into a barracks with her sister, and the stench, the crowding, the kind of human suffering that went on there immediately when they got there, and the kind of fights between women that happened in these barracks were just unbelievable. And her sister Betsy, who has always seemed to be the more spiritual one, she says, there needs to be a lot more praying in here. And sure enough, they brought that about. But in the midst of it, she says, we lay back, struggling against the nausea that had swept over us from the reeking straw. And then she says, suddenly I sat up, striking my head on the cross slats above. They were just layered like animals. Something had pinched my leg. Fleas, I cried. Betsy, the place is swarming with them. We scramble across, and then she says, here, and here another one, I wail. Betsy, how can we live in such a place? Betsy says, show us how. It was said so matter-of-factly, it took me a second to realize she was praying. More and more, the distinction between prayer and the rest of life seemed to be vanishing for Betsy. Corey, she said excitedly, he's given us the answer. Before we asked, as he always does, in the Bible this morning, where was it? Read that part again. I glanced down the long dim aisle to make sure no guard was in sight, then drew the Bible from its pouch. It was in 1 Thessalonians. I said, we were on our third complete reading of the New Testament since leaving Scheveningen. In the feeble light, I turned the pages. Here it is. Comfort the frightened, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one and all. It seemed written expressly to Ravensbrück. Go on, said Betsy. That wasn't all. Oh, yes. To one another and to all, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corey. That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. I stared at her. Then around me at the dark, foul-aired room. Such as, I said, such as being assigned here together. I bit my lip. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Such as what you're holding in your hands. I looked down at the Bible. Yes, thank you, dear Lord. That there was no inspection when we entered here. Thank you for all the women here in this room who will meet you in these pages. Yes, said Betsy. Thank you for the very crowding here, since we're packed so close that many more will hear. She looked at me expectantly. Corey, she prodded. All right, thank you for the jammed, crammed, stuffed, packed, suffocating crowds. Thank you, Betsy went on serenely, for the fleas. And for the fleas? This was too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea. Give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us. And so we stood between piers of bunks and gave thanks for fleas. But this time, I was sure Betsy was wrong. She goes on to talk about the kind of worship services, prayer meetings they had in the barracks. And with all these different women, different languages translated, sometimes miraculously. It was unbelievable. And but they always wondered why they never got busted in the barracks. She later on writes, I came back and I met in the food line with Betsy. Her eyes were twinkling. You're looking extraordinarily pleased with yourself, I told her. You know, we've never understood why we had so much freedom in the big room, she said. Well, I found out. That afternoon, she said there'd been confusions in her knitting group about sock sizes, and they asked the supervisor to come and settle it. But she wouldn't, Betsy says. She wouldn't step through the door, and neither would the guards. And you know why? Betsy could not keep the triumph from her voice. Because of the fleas. That's what she said. That place is crawling with fleas. My mind rushed back to our first hour in this place. I remembered Betsy's bowed head, remembered her thanks to God for creatures I could see no use for. You know, I think the challenge for all of us, and it is a miracle when this happens in our heart, is when God says, you know what, you can thank me, even in the midst of the fleas. And maybe right now there might be something in your life that you look at and you say, that's as annoying, or that's as difficult, or maybe that's as painful as fleas, and God's saying, can you thank me even for that? Even in the midst of that, somehow God may be having something behind the curtain that you might not be able to see. And the promise of God in the midst of all that is in Psalm 23, verse 4, where it says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. You know, these words written in the Bible were written by real people who experienced real hardship and difficulty. And they knew, they experienced, and like Betsy, who said the line started to blur between prayer and reality because it was all real, that God was walking through with her, with us. And so I want to invite you to say together this morning, thanks God that you are walking with me through this circumstance. Can we say that together? Thanks God that you are walking with me through this circumstance. And you can put in whatever it is in that blank of, or in that word circumstance. Now there's another area I think that can end up kind of robbing us of our thankful spirits, or can kind of, when it gets a little bit out of perspective, it can mess us up as well. And it has to do with our stuff, our money. And I want to address that for a moment. I've got a couple of dimes here to kind of, again, illustrate a little bit of the challenge that we have with perspective on money. You can see I've got just two little dimes here, and if I keep it out here, I can see everybody, you know, pretty clearly, and I can see what's going on around me. But if I bring this super close to my eyes, you know, pretty soon, it's pretty obvious, I can't see anything. I can't see people, I can't see my priorities, and I can't see God if I start holding it so tightly and close to me. And kind of a silly illustration, but I think when we take money and start going, okay, if I've got enough, then I'll be thankful, or look what's happening with this right now, that will block us from being able to have a thankful spirit. And I think God wants us to hold this stuff loosely. He wants us to use money and love people, not the other way around. And it's interesting, in the wisdom literature in the Bible, you see it again and again. Proverbs 23, verse 4 and 5 says, don't weary yourself trying to get rich. I think our thankful spirits can be drained when we're working so hard, trying to get to that next level. And then we go, I'm going to be thankful when I get there. It says, why waste your time? For riches can disappear as though it had the wings of a bird. You know, some people say that money talks. I think here it says, bye-bye. That's how money talks to us oftentimes. It comes and goes, right? It comes and goes. Maybe you can say this with me. There's a line up there. Thanks God that even though money comes and goes, you are always present. That's what we just learned in Psalm 23. Can we say that together? Thanks God that even though money comes and goes, you are always present. You know, that's the amazing thing that we have to be thankful for. No matter what the provision, whether in plenty or with little, to be able to say, God, thank you. Thank you that you are with us. Jesus talked a lot about money, actually. About one-third of everything Jesus said was about possessions and money and about things. The only topic he talked more about was the kingdom of God. And the reason why Jesus did that is because he knows how much we think about it and how much it can become a blocker in our lives if out of perspective from really seeing him the way he is and to really living a thankful life. And he invites us to say, you know what, I am going to put God in charge, even of that, that actually everything is his. And I actually am making him my master and not God. That's why in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for you will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. A very simple choice is made for us here. You cannot serve both God and money. And I think I would have really liked it if he would have maybe said, well, you really shouldn't try to serve both God and money. Or if he would have said, well, you might not be able to serve both God and money. He actually says, you cannot. And why is this true? Because money is so powerful in our lives. And God says, if you're going to live an open heart, a thankful heart towards me, it's going to be about saying, God, you know what? Everything I have is from you. That verse to my from Psalm 16, as my master, everything comes from you. And that perspective changes our approach to money. And it changes our approach to stuff. And you might be in plenty this morning or on a very tight kind of place right now. But I think what God invites us to is to change our perspective and say, you know what, God, you are actually in control of all of that. And it's wonderful to see this morning. I think one of the best ways that we can put money in perspective is to give and to give generously. And it's great to see that table full of food that was brought here this morning. And I know Coast Hills, we want to be connected to the needs and of the people in our community. And there's something incredible about when we give away, something changes in our perspective on money. And it becomes less right up there in our face and more something that we use for the benefit of others. I love what it says. Somebody inscribed on a tombstone, what I spent, I lost, what I saved, I left, and what I gave, I have. And when we invest in the kingdom of God, in what God's doing, there's an eternity about it, which is very cool. The last perspective I want to talk about, I think that can kind of be a thankful buster in our lives, is the perspective on my hard work that I do. I think oftentimes in the midst of life, what can kind of drain the thankfulness out of us is that kind of perspective like, oh, I'm not being recognized. I'm not being appreciated. And it is wonderful to be appreciated. And it was just such a surprise and so wonderful this morning for our leadership team to do that. And we want that. And there is a need that is met in us. And God knows that. There's a wonderful thing about a perspective that says, you know what? What I actually do at work or in my family or in service is actually for God. And that changes our perspective so much. That's why 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. When our perspective changes, we go, you know what? Actually, that boss that never appreciates me, I'm actually not working for him or her. I'm working for God. And there's something that changes in our hearts when we realize that. Or the thankless job of parenting, oftentimes. Or whatever it might be. Our places of a ministry. To say, you know what? I'm actually doing this for God. He's my master. He's in charge. And the wonderful thing about doing it for God is that it is never unnoticed by God. He sees all that we do. And it says that nothing we do for God is useless. God takes whatever we give him in our workplace, in the regular, ordinary stuff of life. And he says, you know what? Well done. Good job. And it is an offering back up to God. So the last kind of thank you liturgy that I want to invite us to this morning is that line, thanks God that you see everything and nothing goes unnoticed by you. Can we say that together? Thanks God that you see everything and nothing goes unnoticed by you. We have a God who is among us. He's here with us this morning. And in our kind of human, small, fragile, weak way, we come back to God and we say, God, I just want to honor you. I want to thank you. And it says it actually pleases the heart of God when we do that. And so I've poured some sparkling apple juice this morning as a bit of a toast to God. And I'm going to invite you to something this morning. It's, again, not mandatory. It's just something, if you would like to this morning, to give a toast to God, a thanksgiving toast. And it's actually scriptural. There's a psalm that says, that, albeit it's in the Message translation, but this is what it says. It says, What can I give back to God for the blessings he has poured out on me? I lift high the cup of salvation as a toast to our Father. And, you know, when I Wikipedia'd toast, it says that toasts are something, it's a simple two-part format. The first is you propose the object of the toast. In this case, it's God. It's not the bride or the groom. And then explain why that person is worth toasting or offer a wish on behalf of that. So I want to invite us this morning to take part in that with each other. And it's going to be kind of an informal thing, however it might go. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up right now, and if they want to get ready. What I want to invite you to do is to come up and grab a glass of juice in a moment while the worship band's playing. This is almost another form of communion. And come together. Maybe you're here with another person or your spouse or your family. Maybe you're just on a row with some other people. And if you're here by yourself, I want to invite you, if you're on a row with somebody else, to just invite them to do this together. And maybe, and to take it and just, while they're singing, and the worship band knows this, so there's no disrespect on that level, while they're playing and singing, and you're welcome to, if you want, stay in your chair too and sing along with them. But if you'd like to come together in circles, you can grab it, come back to your row, or you can, we're going to be dismissed after this anyhow. You could stand in the aisle or whatever, and face each other and just say, I want to thank God for, and then you fill in the blanks. And maybe there's already been something said, maybe a line you could just use from what's there. Or maybe it's something that you just want to communicate with somebody else. And we'll end with that kind of informal cocktail party, or whatever you want to call it. It's a toast to God. It's a toast. So it's apple juice, and we want to invite you to touch the heart of God with your thankfulness this morning. So I want to invite you to stand together, and they're going to play. And just at any point during the song, you're welcome to come up and grab a glass, toast the God from all whom all good things come.